Gracious God, take our minds and think through them, take our hands and work through them, take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Amen. The desert is a dangerous place. People do not go into the desert unless they have to. There is no water there, and without water, we die. There is no food there. Without food, we die. When the wind blows, it changes the shape of the desert. People get lost. Some never come back. In the daytime, the sun is so hot that people must wear lots of clothes to protect themselves from the sun and the blowing sand. The sand stings when it hits your skin. The sun scorches you by day. At night, it is cold. You need many layers of clothes to keep warm. The desert is a dangerous place. People only go there if they have to. This is the beginning of the godly play story, The Ten Best Ways, in which God gives the people the Ten Commandments. It evokes clearly the fear that the people of God were facing as they left slavery in Egypt behind, followed the pillar of fire and smoke into the desert. When they gave in to that fear, they turned away from God. They complained. They doubted. They complained again. They gave in to internal power struggles amongst them. They made idols. And so God gave them the 10 best ways, so that for the rest of their journey in the desert, and even once they left that place, they would know how to live. When telling the 10 best ways story in godly play, you use the desert box, a big box full of sand. Of course you do. And as you list the ways, which are shaped like halves of a heart, you place them so that they are standing up in the sand. The first three make a row behind a piece of a heart that says, love God. Don't serve other gods. Make no idols to worship. Be serious when you say my name. Now, number four shifts a bit. It's no longer in that first row. It becomes somewhere in the center. Keep the Sabbath holy. And then the last six are placed so that they stand behind a part of a heart that says, love people. Honor your mother and father. Don't kill. Don't break your marriage. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't even want what others have. God knows that these are hard. God did not call them the 10 easy things to do. They are the best ways to live. And even though God knows that we will mess up and not always follow the best ways, God gave them to us because God loves us. There is an internal logic to these ways that is clearly laid out in the sand when you tell the story, and it is both compelling and beautiful. The way that we attend to God, the first four halves of the heart, shape the ways that we attend to our neighbor, the six other halves of the heart. In other words, the proper praise of God shapes our social responsibility. Good theology is good ethics. Tied up with these thoughts, we come today to the story of Jesus going up to Jerusalem in preparation for the Passover. Upon entering the temple, he found people selling sacrificial animals and changing money from the Roman coin to the temple coin, all things that needed to happen in order for people to properly worship and praise God. But what he saw enraged him. And so he overturned the tables and made a whip and drove the sellers away. It seems an extreme response. But what Jesus understood was that while the buying and selling of animals and changing of money served a function to proper worship, it had forgotten its purpose. It had stopped really being about worship and had instead become about consumers and marketers. It was nothing intentional. There was no real malice involved. Over time, there was a shift. And the end result that was that God was no longer at the center. The people had literally brought things into the temple that ended up not bringing them closer to God, but standing between them and God, and therefore each other as well. We bring things into the temple as well. Each of us brings something different, and sometimes we get together and bring things in as a group. There are too many for me to name, but I invite you to pray about them. However, if I were to identify the biggest thing we as a culture have brought into the temple, it would be that thing that drives so many of our lives: being over-calendared. We are too busy. Our days and nights are overfilled. There is always more to do, or that we should be doing. We no longer rely on our memory, let alone pen and paper. We have apps to help us juggle all of the balls we are trying to keep in the air. And it stands between us and God and each other. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember how this is the best way that was in between the others in the godly place story? It was a link between the ways to love God and to love people. And it tells us how to love God and love people. And I have news for you. This, being here at church, is not Sabbath. The Sabbath is not presented to God's people as a day of worship, but rather as a day of cessation, blessed by God's own rest. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that was in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Rest is written into the very nature of creation and life. It is therefore essential that we rest, that we make time for Sabbath, that we turn again to God. Without it, we too should expect to face Jesus' anger. For we should know better. We've been taught. And what's left is to reconcile our lives to God and those around us. So how do we create Sabbath? What do we need to do? First, we need to create some breathing room, some margin in our lives. We need to resist the urge, the necessity, to fill every day with as much as possible. It does not make us more holy. In fact, it does the opposite, pulling us away from the holy, and sometimes our own humanity as well. When we are too busy, we are not able to be present to others, to let alone God, or even ourselves. So start small if you have to, but work to create a pattern of space in your life. Open space leaves room for the Spirit to move and breathe with us. As we were invited into this Lent, we need to pause, reflect, and pray. This isn't about being silent, though. Last Saturday, during the leadership day, I led a session on incorporating prayer into your leadership practice. As a part of this, I had people break into small groups and to lead each other in prayer. It was not silent in that room. Some of the prayers were actually quite loud and included a lot of raucous laughter. But what it was quiet. Quiet in the way that indicates room has been left open for God's presence, with the expectation of God's presence and the possibility of transformation. Pastor and poet Ted Loader aptly puts it this way: "Now, O Lord, calm me into a quietness that heals and listens and molds my longings and passions, my wounds and wonderings, into a more holy and human shape." The quietness of Sabbath can make us holy and human. Sabbath is not only quiet, however. It is also, ironically, work. Because I believe that a big part of Sabbath, that half of the heart that connects our love of God and our love of people, means that we must work at all times towards reconciliation for those parts of our lives and of the world that are broken. Reconciliation, returning God to the center of our lives, and also living into right relationship with those around us. This is what the 10 best ways gives us. They are not the 10 easy ways, but they are the best ways. If we are not in right relationship with those we have wronged or who have wronged us, then we cannot fully return to God. Holding on to our anger with both hands keeps us from taking God's hand. But once we decide to work towards reconciliation, we make space again for God to be our center. I say work towards reconciliation because it is not something that we do and complete once for all, wrapping it up with a shiny bow. It is a process to always be worked toward, but intentionally. Otherwise, it will never happen. The desert is a dangerous place, but it is the place where God led the people to show them how to love and live fully, things that always come with a risk. It is also a place for us to meet God. It is the place where we return to God. May this Lent be for us a desert journey into that dangerous and life-changing place. Amen.